hoping you'd get in the video.
Hi. Okay, hi everybody. Okay, so first of all, it's great to be here. It's a big schuss. I want to thank Rabbi Nachum Shiner, for letting me be here today. And thank everybody for coming. Speaking in Muncie is a very special thing for me. My father, Zatzal, lived there at the end of his life. He was a big speaker, a big mashpia. And to be in Muncie, then to be addressing Kahal, it's very special to me. And actually something about speaking that I learned from my father was from his answering machine, believe it or not, of all things. If I would call the house and, you know, there's no answer, it would go to his message. My aunt is here, so she'll correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but I'm going to try to copy his voice. There's something about the way he said in his deep tones. You have reached the telephone line of Shmuel Stauber. At the sound of the tone, please leave your message. And there's something about the way he said, your message, that always struck me. It's like, my message. My message. What is my message? Do I have a message? I mean, I was just kind of like calling to say, like, whatever. But like, no. Leave your message. And I was like thrown into this existential doubt and confusion every time. Do I have a message? What am I living for? Do I have a purpose? Am I leaving the world with a message? No, I'm not. Save the whales. No, someone said that already. The Amazon rainforest. No, it's no good. That's boring. One thing I got from it is that when you're speaking, you have to have a message. And let me first start with, what is my message for you today? I've traveled about 6,000 miles. I'm here to talk to you and tell you something. So this is pre-Shavuos, the name of the speech. I think they changed it because there was, I don't know, must have, did not make it past the board of the real name of the speech. I don't know what you heard. Is who loves you more, Hashem or your mother? I don't think that's what they told you. So I don't know. But that's what I'm trying to figure out. And my message is about that. And the way I want to introduce the message is with a little story. This story happened about 20 years ago when I was looking for my wife. And at first, I met a nice young lady, not as nice as the woman I eventually married, but a nice young lady nonetheless. And it was around Yom Kippur time. So I figured it would be a nice idea to share a little Dvar Torah, you know, with my date about Yom Kippur. So on the phone, I said, you know, it's such a scary time, Yom Kippur, it's like this Yom Adin. You know, my yeshiva pointed out, it's also Matan Torah. You shouldn't forget. Don't forget that not only is it a Yom HaDin, it's also a Matan Torah, it's a time of Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I thought, okay, that's a nice little vart, I'm going to score some points. It didn't work at all. She was like, well, that must work for you, because, you know, you're a man and you learn Torah. But, you know, as a woman, you know, that doesn't help me. Now, I had no idea what to do with that. First of all, it was like not the response I was looking for. Like, wah, 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 wah. Oh, well, for my next trick, you know, that didn't work. But it was really confusing. It's hard to me imagine that there could be a Jewish person, man or woman, that has that attitude about Matan Torah. Like, oh, since I don't learn Torah, so Matan Torah has nothing to do with me. I had no idea what to respond. I was like, uh-huh, mm-hmm. And we didn't get married. I mean, but not just that. It's 20 years later, I think, a bit. And I think it's time to go on a crusade about this, because she's not the only one. There's a lot of people I work now with, you know, with young people, with teenagers, and, well, maybe they're not teenagers anymore sometimes, but they're kind of still in that stage of life. And they're not even sure what Matan Torah has to do with them. You know, it happened, and it was important, and but what is a lot of people seem to have this sense that Hashem wants something from me, rabbis want stuff from me. You know, just leave me alone. Let me live my life. What does God want from me? What other rabbis want from me? You know, what does Matan Torah have to do with me? And that's really the point I want to address today. What I want to bring out, and, you know, B'kitzur Nimrus, the point I want to bring out is that Matan Torah, Shavuos, is the way for us to realize our deepest dreams. Our personal deepest dreams and goals, that's what Shavuos is about. This is not that somebody, some being wants stuff from us. This is an opportunity for us to reach our deepest dreams. And that's what I'd like to talk with you today about. So before I left, I was talking to my wife. So Shavuos, what should we talk about? I think we should talk about Torah. She goes, nah, Torah. Shavuos, Torah, what shaykes? Talk about Achdus. I'm like, oh yeah, I think, yeah, for sure. But you kind of shouldn't get a heart. That's for sure. That's for sure we should talk about. How about Tikkun Ha'olam? How about being Masak in the Chet of Adam Arishon? Let's see what that has to do with Shavuos. Because it's actually, we'll start with, we're Jews, you know, we've got to start with some questions. Jews always ask questions. Let's start with some questions. What's this idea to stay up all night learning Torah? You know, it's not a very practical way to get learning done. Your mashkiach and yeshiva always tells you, you want to learn, go to sleep in time, wake up in time and learn. Staying up all night is just not an effective way to learn. Question one. Question two, why are we celebrating these luchos? They broke. Anyone ever notice? The luchos of Rishonos are broken. We don't have them. The Torah that we have today is not the Luchas Shnis. Luchas HaRishonim HaShem Shibarta. It's not the Luchas HaRishonim. It's the Luchas Shnis. Welcome, welcome. Right? Why are we celebrating and counting toward these Luchas that we don't have anymore? The Luchas that we are Kesher to Torah is a different Madrega. The Beis Levi has a long Arichas on it. We don't have a Shaychas to the level of Torah that was in the Luchas HaRishonim. Those Luchas, there's no Misa, there's no Shikha, there's no Galus. We don't have it. We're B'nei Elokim Kulchem that we reach the level of Nitzchias. We don't have those Luchas. They're broken. We have Luchas Shnias. Why are we counting, making such a big deal about it? On the topic of counting, this is like an embarrassing question. You know, there's a lot of halachas about if you forget to count. You know, it's such a paradox. It's such a stira. Because why are we counting to the luchas? Because we're so excited. Wow, we can't wait. We're just counting up the days. Oh, I think I forgot to count today. Oops, I forgot to be excited. There's no bigger contradiction than forgetting to be so excited. I can't get it off my mind. Oh, what day is it? Oh. It just makes no sense to be reminded to be excited to count. This is the kind of paradox, really, by the way. It's like the elephant in the room. Oh, we're so excited about Mountain Terrace. So the first few days, we're excited. And then somewhere in the middle, we'll kind of like space out. We wake up again, like day 40, you know, we count to day 40. Oh, it's time to wake up. It's almost at the end. It's like the home stretch. You start revving it up. It's like the ambulance driver. Oh, you're coming close to the scene of the accident. You know, zoom up there to the scene. Oh, you gotta get there. Like, you know, like there's like a disconnect. We know the worst thing is when we're not living in tune with what is real. So we know the Torah wants from us that we should be so excited about the Torah that we're counting to it. We know it should be. How can we feel that? How can we get to a place where we actually are so excited about Torah and mitzvahs? Or, you know, because if you are excited about Torah and mitzvahs, great. Well, then you don't need this thing. You're excited. You're counting toward it. What if you're not at that level yet? What if you know Torah is great, you know mitzvahs are great, but it doesn't do that to you? I remember when I was a chassan, I went to Eretz Yisrael to go learn till the chassanah. And my kala, so she, you know, gave a little package, you know, on the plane. And in the package, there was a calendar with clear instructions. Make a big X on each day as it passes, you know, as you're getting closer to the wedding. That made sense. You know, you're excited, you're getting married, it's kind of like a big change in your life for sure. You're excited about it. Can you imagine, like, oh, I forgot. Well, let me quickly X them off before I get back. I shouldn't get in trouble. Like, you know, you don't want... That's not... We don't want to be living our life for the Kodesh Baruch Hu in that kind of way. Like, pretending to be excited. It is. It isn't. What could we be so excited about in Matan Torah that even if we're not connecting fully yet to Torah Mitzvahs, is something that could lead to all Yidden today. Okay, so we're going to start with one more question, which is going to open things up. It says in the Gemara that there's two. We just learned this past Shabbos the terrible klolos that comes if we don't keep the Torah. And the Gemara says Ezra was misakin that we should read the klolos two times a year before Rosh Hashanah, and before Shavuos. The Gemara says, well, Shavuos is not Rosh Hashanah, so why do we have? Gemara says, no, Shavuos is also Rosh Hashanah because we're judged on the fruit of the tree. So Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah, just like the other Rosh Hashanah. So you have to read the klolos beforehand. The Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, since you judge on the fruit of the tree, you should bring a carbon to be mechaper, you should have good fruit. What's the carbon made out of? It's a carbon of bread. It's made out of wheat. Makes perfect sense. If you want to be mechaper on fruit, you should definitely choose wheat as a carbon to be mechaper on the fruit of the tree. Right? Makes sense to anyone? You have a question? Yosef, got a question? Yeah, your name is Yosef. Right, that makes sense. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be mechaper, I want to give you bracha for the fruit of the tree, so you should bring wheat. Anyone?
Why don't you bring fruit?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Wheat ain't a fruit, I think. Now, in case someone is going to shed doubt, no, maybe wheat is a fruit. That's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says if you chew wheat, you make a bar priya adama. Okay, so in case someone wasn't sure, it's a mafarish Gemara. Wheat is a adama, it's not a bar priya eight. So if we're being judged on fruit, why are we bringing wheat? Rashi there saves the day, as Rashi often does. Rashi says, this Gemara is going according to the opinion that the eight she'achal adam arishan chita haisa. Okay, the clue. So the tree that Adam Rishon ate was a wheat. Anyone else have a question? So I mean, Rashi's getting a step closer. Okay, Rashi clearly had our problem. And the answer is because, you know, wheat was a tree, and that was the tree that Adam Rishon ate from. But wheat was a tree? What? The Medrash says yes. The Medrash says once upon a time, in a perfect world, you just pluck not just bread from the tree, you pluck cake from a tree. You pluck kokish cake. And babka, the kind that make it here in Muncie, by the way. But you know what I discovered about Muncie babka? This is like, when I used to go visit my father, by the way, he had this thing of choosing the heaviest, most chocolate. Until you get the sense that the dough is really just an excuse to hold. It's not really about cake. It's really about how can you get like more gooey, drippy. I once tried to bring some of it back with me to Eretz Yisrael. The plane sank. The plane just landed on the water. We had to float all the way there to Israel because the cake weighs about 10,000 pounds. It's not something quite natural. You could just pluck that from a tree, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu really designed from the. And I wonder, there must be a different kind of trees. You know, you have like a pear tree, and you have like, orange tree. You know, in those days, you know, so you had the kokosh tree, you know, and the babka tree, right? They probably didn't have any devil's cake trees. I don't think that. Maybe there's a pugach tree, you know, perhaps good old pugaches. Right? Maybe cookies, and machlekes, if there was cookies or not. I don't know. Right? So, the kids are getting, I think I got a little off topic there. Sometimes it happens to me, you know, I talk about food, I get to kind of lose track. But the point is that in the Olam HaMasukin, right, the bread grows on trees. Chita was a tree. Okay, so great. So now we solve the problem. But the question is, why would we dafka bring a carbon that would remind Hashem of the chet? You know, this idea of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Like, it's a little bit awkward. We want Hashem to be mechapra, to give us, you know, a year of good fruit. So which fruit do we bring? The one that Adam Rishon did an aveira with. That's a bit strange, right? So obviously the Torah is like this. We're actually coming to be mesakin the chet. The whole idea of Chag HaShavuos was to be mesakin the chet of Adam Rishon, just like by Maimon Hasinai, the Gemara tells us, Pasko Zu Hamasan, Klai Yisrael went back to the level of other Rishon Kaidim Achet. That's actually what happened at Har Sinai. Then they lost it again when they were with the Chet of the Egel. Every Shavuos, the Avoid of Shavuos, is to return back to the level of other Rishon Kaidim Achet. Welcome, Kavanot. It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen. So the Avoid of Shavuos is to return back to the level of other Rishon Kaidim Achet. And that's why we're bringing the carbon of chita to be masak in the chet of other mission that ate from a chita. Okay, let's get this even a little deeper. Why is the chet of other mission manifested, explained, and really brought out with fruit and a grain? Somehow, fruit becoming a grain, fruit becoming a vegetable, you know, that idea, that is how the Torah teaches us the chet of other mission, the chorban of the chet, and our tikkun of a chet. Right, we explained very nice that that's why we're bringing a shtei halachem, because we want to turn the grain back into fruit. That's the tikkun of the chet of Rishon. But why? Why is this the way the Torah is choosing to teach us about the chet? What's the message here? And here's a very, very deep idea. What's the difference between a tree and grain? Vegetables, grain. The difference is a tree is netzach. A tree has the idea of eternity. You plant the tree once, it's a healthy tree, and it just gives fruit every year. As opposed to grain and vegetables, every single year you have to plant it again. And that's actually what happened to Adam Rishon. B'yoyim achol imenu mois tamus. Adam Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him. He was a Yitzir Kapa, it was Nitzchi. He ate from the Eitz Hadas, and that's the day he ate it, he died. He didn't die the day he ate it. Yes, he did. If you take something eternal and you make it limited, that's death. Ramay Shapiro Zatzal, he used to give this mashal. You take a fan. And imagine, picture a fan. Back in the day, there used to be something called a fan. I mean, no one uses a fan anymore. But, you know, thing goes like, you know, it kind of makes it more comfortable, right? So let's say you unplug it. It's still spinning, right? So it's still on. No, it's dead. It's just a matter of time. That's not called alive, right? On the other hand, if you plug it in, you know, the old fans, they used to go, there was like that moment before it turned on. It was like, you know, like that moment. When you first plug it in and it does that first motion, it doesn't look very impressive. But now it's on. This thing is alive. This thing is on. So it doesn't necessarily matter what it looks like. Right? Question, is it plugged in? It's on. If it's unplugged, it's dead. You take out the Marishan, that's Nitzchi, that's what life is. Akash Bochu gives life, that's eternal. The moment Adam Rishon's life became temporary, he's dead. That's what happened to Adam Rishon. He became from something eternal to something that's dead and it's just gonna last. What kind of battery is gonna die? That's not the life that Akash Bochu ever planned for us. That's the life that's really, we live a life that's really death. That's the Churban of the Cheder Beis Hadas. When Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas and died, so to speak, so the Nefesh HaChaim explains that wasn't only in his life, it was also his mezainis, what his nourishment also became temporary. Just like he became temporary, he was really dead, just kind of living out another few years. So too, what his nourishment became from a tree to a grain, which is, it's not eternal. And the Sefer Malas HaTorah explains that Torah's is compared to an eitz. Adam is eitz hasadeh, and it says chayei olam nata b'secheinu. The Torah is a chayei olam that it's nata, like a tree planted inside of us. And he gives a mashal, a very famous idea. He says you take, you know, a seed, you plant a tree, and it grows, and you have a big trunk, and it splits into smaller branches, and those branches into other branches, and you have twigs, and you have many fruit. And every one of those fruit has got leaf seeds in it. You take one of those seeds, you plant it, the whole thing starts again. Any one of those thousands of seeds, a tree, branches, smaller branches, many fruit. And every one of those, that's what netzach means. What netzach really means is something that has payers and payers ad insured. This is the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to give us. And this is what the Torah, this is really what the Torah is giving us. It says, Vayitzer ha'adam, Vayitzer ha'adam, the pasuk to the Gemara Darshan's, Vayitzer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human being, it's two yuds there. Vayitzer with two yuds. You could say with one yud. So Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us two creations, for Elam Hazeh and Elam Haba. The way Rashi Shapiro always explain it is that there's two Rosh Hashanahs. We were created in Rosh Hashanah, that's like to live in this world. But there's another Rosh Hashanah of Shavuos with the Torah. The Chayei Olam Atav Eschenu for Elam Haba. So we're born twice. We're born naturally on Rosh Hashanah. That's the first Rosh Hashanah. And the second Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks about is Shavuos, because that's the Rosh Hashanah that we get the Chayei Olam Nata B'Zechenu, we get eternity. What does Shavuos mean to us? It means the Torah, and it means mitzvahs, and what does that mean for us? I promise that what it means is the realization of all our deepest dreams. The idea to live eternally, to live purely, to live who we really are, because when we are living truly, we won't die. The whole idea of death is because we're not really living the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned for us. The way Nefesh HaChaim explains it, after we ate from the Eitz Hadas, there was a ta'aruvis of toi v'ra, it's all mixed together. You do something good, it's mixed up with bad, there's bad kavanas in it. You do something bad, it has something good in it. We're not pure, either way. That's what happened after the Chet. That when we're living in a pure way, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us, our food is pure, we're pure, we live forever. The chet was that nothing is clear, everything is mixed up, and that's why there's no nitzchias. What really we're receiving on Shavuos is Chayei Olam Nata B'Zecheinu Torah. I think every person senses that we're meant to live forever, which is why people don't expect to die. Because of course we're supposed to live forever, our neshama is nitzchi. Every person senses that this is wrong, this whole death idea, it's just wrong, it's just a bad idea, cut it. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And we're right, it isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's a result of chet. And what Shavuos is offering us, what Shavuos, the opportunity of Shavuos, is a way really to escape that, to be masak in the chet of Adam Rishon, which is, we're going to go back to answer the questions, and we're going to try to make it also more real. This is a little bit still quite academic. But let's first see how this idea answers the questions we ask. Why do we stay up all night Shavuos learning? It's not so practical. Shavuos has nothing to do with practical. Shavuos has to do with escaping the world that we live in, going back to a world of Adam Rishon Kaidim Echad, in a perfect world, which we don't really have it. We have it only in a broken way. We ask that we have the broken luchas. Yeah, but we still have the broken luchas. We held on to those luchas. They went with the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, the broken luchas, which means we don't really have them, but we kind of have them in a broken way. We still could dream to get them back. And the most important thing is not to let go of that dream. Because ultimately, our destiny, our job on this planet is to make that dream reality. We're going to discuss in a minute how to do that. But what happens on Shavuos is that we're reborn, and we have to hold on to the dream of what that rebirth really means, that it's Netzach, it's eternal. That's what Shavuos really is. You know the song? I could have learned all night, I could have learned all night, and then have asked for more. I could have learned all night, right? Famous song, right? That's the romance with the Torah. That's escaping the world that we live in. Does it make any sense? No. Shavuos is not about making sense. Shavuos is about a world that's mesukin. Okay, so that's the carbon of Shtei Halachim. Let's talk a little bit about where this can go, what this can really look like. And I'm very excited to share this idea with you. It's a brand new, I mean, it's not brand new, it's brand new for me, but it's quite old. It's a pshat in the Gemara and Kedushin. It has to do with Mun, and it has to do with Betachin, and it has to do with how we can really live with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this kind of way. It's a very interesting the Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin, I think it's on Daf Lamed Ches, or Lamed Tes, one of the two. The Gemara says that, well, it brings a pasuk. The Jews ate Mun for 40 years. Frak the Gemara Kasha, it's not true. The Torah seems to have made a mistake. The Torah says the Jews ate Mun for 40 years. But the Mun only started falling a month after. Because like this, the Mun ended, when was the last time they ate Mun? Tezai and Nisan at the end of 40 years. But it didn't start falling right after Pesach. It started falling a month later, Tezai and Iyar. Where I said, you're missing a month. It's 39 years, 11 months. Why does the Torah say 40 years? The math doesn't add up. Where says something really interesting answer. Ugois shahitziu mi Mitzrayim ta'amu ban tam man. The dough that they took out of Mitzrayim tasted like man. So that's where you get the other month from. That is really weird. I mean, man was very holy stuff. You know, it's what the Ramban says, it's what the Malachim ate. It's naiv lois chachma. You know, lainit netaira elala oichle man. Mitzvah shadeg. You know, the dough from the Egyptian, the land of Tumah. How did that taste like? Why did that work? It wasn't man. And why would it taste like man? Besides, what even man tastes like? Everyone knows the whole thing with man tastes different. Depends what you're thinking about. Right? What is the Gemara telling us? So, L'chayr, the Pasha Pshat is, what's Taman? So the from the Pesukim and from the Gemara, you see that the whole Avodah of Man was Avodah of Betachon. There's only a certain amount of Man fell and you weren't allowed to collect for the next day. You had to completely trust. The Man was exercises in Betachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us for 40 years how to trust Him. I've got your back. I'm going to give you food. Don't worry. And it's going to fall twice on Friday, and it won't fall on Shabbos. And they went out on Shabbos to look anyway. And Hashem got upset. How come you're not following the mitzvah of the Mun? How come you're not just trusting me and relying on Kodesh Baruch Hu? The mitzvah of Mun was to teach Klal Yisrael how to trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu. To a person who has a level of emunah, really anything they're eating is coming from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it was because Klal Yisrael was on a level of emunah to eat Mun. They were able to taste man in any food that came from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they were ta'amu ta'aman. They tasted the flavor of man. Doesn't matter where it comes from, even in the dough that comes from Mitzrayim. It wasn't man. It was Egyptian dough. But the Jews were able to taste the ta'am of man in it because of their level of emunah. With this, it could be explained to the other Gemara in the same place. The Gemara, a little earlier in the Amud, the Gemara says, another question. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. So when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the man stopped falling. So you're 5 weeks short because they ate man until Tezai Nisan. Zayin Adar, Tezai Nisan, it's about 5 weeks. So how did we get to the 40 years? It stopped falling on Zayin Nisan, the Gemara says, because even though it stopped falling on Zayin Nisan, well, it lasted, the same man lasted for 5 weeks. Another question. What? Everybody knows the man melted the next morning. So what used to last one day suddenly lasted 5 weeks. How did that happen? That's cheating. The Gemara's cheating. The Gemara's breaking the rules. Mun doesn't last more than a day. How is this, at the end, somehow stretching out to 5 weeks? Besides, I mean, they must have got pretty skinny. I mean, the same amount of food that's supposed to keep them going for a day, suddenly they're rationing it, lasting for five. How does this work? So it's a little bit of a chiddush, but I said over to Rosh Yeshiva, and he was maskim. Nanali Bereisha, Rabbi Yitzchak Soloveitchik, the Chayyur is maskim to this pshat. I think it's a beautiful word. It goes like this. Well, I know it's a beautiful word. I'm hoping it's MS. And he was maskim that he was maskim to me. So here's the idea. The mun, it's not a, the mun doesn't melt after a day. That's not the pshat. It's not that the mun has like a shelf life, you know, like an expiration on it. After a certain date, the mun goes bad. That's not the pshat. Spiritual things certainly don't go bad. So why did the mun melt after a day? Here's the idea. We just finished explaining that the mun was a level of betachon. Eating the mun means that you have a level of relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you're trusting Hashem. When it comes to relationships, so the love for yesterday has nothing to do with today. You know, I'll bring this out with a story. You know, they say, like, you know, in Shalom Bayis, you know, they tell the men, you're supposed to tell your wife every day that you love her. You know, you have to just, she wants to hear it every day. And I have a friend of mine who's a Rav, and he told me this story. It actually happened, a true story. It's a great joke. The best is the true stories, right? Here's what happened. We're sitting with a couple, middle-aged couple, and she says, my husband is a stone. He has no feelings, certainly not toward me. And he's sitting there. It's not true. You see what I mean? Look at this guy. He doesn't love me. Shtuyot. You see? So the Rav asks him, what do you mean? You know, it doesn't exactly look, I mean, sounds like what you're saying is true. I told her the day we got married that I love her. If there is a change, I will let her know. You know, like, I'll update you, you know? The problem is it actually happened, right? When it comes to a relationship, I like to say a relationship is like a verb. A verb only lasts while you're doing it. If you're walking, so the fact that you walked, you're not walking. So if you say, you know, if you say you love your wife, it's not like a thing. It's something that you're doing. It's like an action. And if you stop doing it, it just isn't happening at all. Right? Bring this back to what it means to live with Betachon and Kodesh Baruch Hu is to have a relationship with Hashem, to trust Hashem. He loves us. He's taking care of us. That's the most important aspect of Betachon. Betachon just means to believe that there's a God. It means that to believe there's a God and He loves you. And He's taking care of you. That's what Betachon really means. So when you're living with a relationship with Hashem, do you feel like Hashem loving you? So it's a relationship. It's every moment is fresh. The same way life is fresh. You know, yesterday's breathing has nothing to do with your breathing today. But you breathed yesterday. Why not breathe again today? Like, every breath is brand new. It's fresh. It's life. So the reason, you know why the mun melted? You know why yesterday's mun melted? Because new mun fell. When the new mun fell, Hashem said, I love you guys. Here's food. Here, chow time, come and get it. Here's food, guys. And he said, I love you, here's food. So when the fresh love came, the old love wasn't okay, it just melted. But when Moshe Rabbeinu died and no new mun fell, why would the old mun melt? Mun itself didn't melt after a day. This is a little bit the chiddush I'm saying. It doesn't see this beferish anywhere. The mun didn't melt because it had a shelf life. What made yesterday's mun melt was the new mun from today. Hashem told us in the morning, hi everyone, I love you. So it was brand new. So then yesterday's mun melted automatically. This is what it means to live at a level of Betachon Kodesh Baruch Hu, is to have a kind of relationship with Hashem, that you trust that Hashem is loving us and taking care of us. This is what begins on Shavuos, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us a life of eternity, a life that we're Yetzir HaKapov. This is what He's giving us with the Torah. And this is what we're going to hope to get living a life of Betachon. You never change. Not, go ahead.
But wouldn't that, like, in a sense of, if we're not getting a new one, wouldn't that put us in the same place as the woman with her husband, saying that Hashem, yeah, he said it a few times, like, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Right.
But if he stopped, in a sense, showing his love and renewing it and freshening it up, wouldn't that put us in the same place as the wife saying, hey, do you really love us?
You're absolutely right. There was a special, special darga that Klai Yisrael was zeichet to, b'schus Moshe Rabbeinu. And it certainly was a loss. So you're absolutely right. To have that level of Betachon Kodesh Baruch Hu that Hashem is showing us, benigla, incredible level. The thing is, the reason why Hashem stopped, ultimately, is because the purpose of this world is for us to get the point. Hashem ultimately wants to stop showing it to us again and again and again. And He wants us to realize that everything we're eating is mun. The same way Klal Yisrael was ta'am ta'am mun, what Hashem really wants us to do is see how He's showing it to us again and again in so many other ways. So you're right. It is, in one sense, Hashem is stopping to show us His love. The same way that, you know, in this mashal. Right? But ultimately, the purpose of life is for us to learn how to find it ourselves, and to find that Hashem is showing it to us again and again in so many ways. Make sense? Sounds like you want to talk about that more. Okay. There's one more piece of this that has to do with Shabbos Kodesh. It says in the Pasuk, Vayivarech Elokim Hashem Yeshiva Kodesh Oisei. There's an amazing Rashi, fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed Shabbos, and he was Mekadesh Shabbos. Baruch Hu b'mon b'kitcha b'mon. Hashem blessed Shabbos that double mon fell on Friday, and he's Mekadesh Shabbos that no mon fell on Shabbos. So that's the whole thing for 40 years. What does it mean that Shabbos has Baruch and Kedusha? For 40 years there was with the mon. So what about today? Today there's no Baruch and Kedusha in Shabbos? Right. So the Mefarshim obviously explained it. What does it mean? Of course it's something that's going on today, but it was something that you can see in the mon. What was it? There's something amazing in Shabbos. Even though usually, when it comes to Hishtadlis and Betochen, so imagine so you have a restaurant, and you, you know, serve meals, and everything, and you close, because you got a Seder, you have to go learn. So, you know, at 6 o'clock every day, you close the restaurant for an hour, you go daven mincha and you learn. So your accountant calls you and he says, you know, my dear friend, you know, your client, you know, you can't close your restaurant at 6 o'clock for an hour. That's when people are coming for dinner, you know. So he says, well, I mean, that's when I daven mincha. That's when I learn. I don't know. So he's thrown into a doubt. How much betochen do I have? How much hishtadlus? And it's a good question. You got to figure it out. Ask your rabbi. Work it out. That's everyone knows. Betochen, hishtadlus, you got to work it out. But what happens when it comes to Shabbos? The calendar calls and I see you close your on every Saturday. You're closed. What is that? You're not paying your bills. You got to stay open on Saturday. No question. If you are from Yid, you close your restaurant on Saturday. Ain't going to work on Saturday. That's it. You're no problem. You don't work on Shabbos Kodesh. Right? Big Gadol Gumbert said it. You're good. You don't have to worry about it. Where did that come? Where did that Amunah come from? Suddenly, every Yid can have a Muna, doesn't have to do a Shtadlis. That's the gift of Shabbos. The Baruch Hu B'mon in every Shabbos is a bracha of Mon. We say that Mon is the Inyan of Betochen. Klal Yisrael receives on Shabbos free Betochen, free Amunah. And that's why even a Pashut Yid closes a Surah on Shabbos. This is the Menucha of Shabbos. On Shabbos we're resting, the stress that we have to worry all the time, am I doing the right amount of Shtadlis, the right amount of Betochen? On Shabbos you just have, what's the Menuch of Shabbos? You don't have the stress of trying to figure out, am I living the right way as a Yid or not? Could be, that's the famous Gemara with the Caesar, that he tasted the Shabbos food, he tasted the chalent, whatever it was, right? And he came back and he wanted some of it, and he said, you know, I want you to make me this. So they made him a chalent, and it wasn't the same. So he said, this is new. It's not the same thing. I want you, wait, what did you guys have? He says, yeah, there's this like special spice. We call it Shabbos. What a strange idea. Shabbos is a spice. Shabbos is Kedusha. Shabbos is Menucha. A new idea. Shabbos is also a spice. Like, well, what's the Gemara telling us? Could be. This is also, I hope it's Emes. I think it sounds like it might be a true idea. The Tam of Mon. Mon had a Tam. The Tam of Betochen. We just said that Shabbos has betochen. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mevarach and kaddish Shabbos with betochen. Every Yid closes the store on Shabbos. The machale Shabbos have a time of month. That it says beferish in this form. It says that's why we learn out the three meals of Shabbos, because it says the word hayam three times in the parashas Amon. Right. The flavor of Shabbos, the tavlin of Shabbos, is the moon and the betochen. Why does betochen taste good? Right. So it's like difference between, you know, you can go to a restaurant and buy delicious food. Or you get homemade food. You know how it is, you get something at home and they say, it tastes so good, it's like it should be in a restaurant. You should sell this stuff. It's so good, why don't you open up a restaurant? Because obviously restaurant food is really good. So if someone makes good homemade food, you say, this should be a restaurant. You get to a restaurant, they say, this is like tastes like it's homemade. The ochel beiti, it is like home baker. It's like, what's going on? What's better? Is it better to be a restaurant? Is it better to be at home? Wherever you go, they tell you the other way. Right? Terrence says, each one has a milo. At home is where it's served with love. It may not be so good, but there's a lot of love. You got to a restaurant, right? These people better be good. They're gonna go out of business. Of course they're good. This is their you know, expertise. But there's no love. They just want it for the money. No matter what they tell you, don't believe it. They want your money. So they tell you, no, it tastes like it's home. It tastes as if it's made with love. Right? It's not. They make it as fattening as possible. They don't care if they clog up your arteries. They want you to come back. They want it to taste good. Right? As opposed to at home, you know, at home they're going to make it all healthy because they actually care about you. It's not going to taste as good. That's the flavor of betochen. Betochen is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything you eat is served with love. You didn't just find food. You didn't work hard, earn money, so you bought it yourself. Everything you eat was served, was given to you like from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, served with love from God. That's the tam, that's the flavor of the food of Shabbos. Shabbos, we have betachin, every yid has a gift of betachin. That's why the food on Shabbos tastes good, because you're kolax, served with love by God. There's actually an amazing Gemara that says this idea of befeirish. It's machleik, the Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara has a question, is a Talmud Chacham allowed to be meichel his kavod? The Gemara says, yes. And it says, how about a nasi? Is a nasi, a prince, allowed to be meichel his kavod? The God al Hadar. The Gemara, well, I'll bring a rai from Avram Avinu, because he served, you know, these three Arabs. So maybe you think they're malachim. No, he thought that they were Arabs and he served them anyway. So you see that the God al Hadar is allowed to be meichel on his kavod and just be the waiter. So Rabbi Tzadik says, he interrupts the conversation. He says, why are you being busy with people? Bring a rai from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is certainly a nasi, the God al Hadar, certainly. And he makes the clouds rise up. He makes the rain come down. Va'irich shulchan b'fnei kol echad ve'echad. And he serves you breakfast. Who gave you breakfast? He served you breakfast today. So he brings a halacha l'maisa. The Gemara is passing a halacha that you're allowed to, that a nasi, the God al-Dar, could be Michael is covered from the fact that Hashem served us breakfast. When Rabbi Tzadik ate breakfast that morning, his waiter was God. And he was able to pasken halacha from that. Now Rabbi Tzadik didn't eat too much. You know the famous story with Rabbi Tzadik, right? He was the one who got very sick, and because he fasted for 40 years, and they slowly brought him back to health. Maybe that's why. You know, when the waiter is God, you're like, you take very little bit. I don't know if that's the reason why, right? The fact is, though, he was aware. You know, the rest, you know, I go to the fridge. Where does breakfast come from? Oh, the fridge. No, I'm going to go, oh, what's your breakfast today? Like, you know, that's how we do it. Someone who's aware of what's going on receives, someone who lives with betachin, receives the food from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the tam. That's the tam mun. And that's why the mun tastes different for everybody. Everyone has a different flavor. Everyone has a different experience because love is very personal. How much do I realize, how much am I aware and conscious that it's being served from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's what the tam of mun really is. So of course it tastes whatever you want it to taste like. What are you able to taste? Every person's got a different mix of that. This is the gift of Shabbos Kodesh. This is the gift of the flavor of mun. And this is the gift of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give us on Shavuos. And let's tie this together. Because we're waiting on Shavuos to hear the words, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. So, you know, we think, okay, we're going to hear Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is going to tell us, I am Hashem, your God. I created the world. That's not really how it ends. The most important thing to realize about Emuna is that Hashem doesn't just want us to believe that He's God. He wants us to believe us that He's God who loves us and takes care of us, because that's the end of the sentence. Hashem says, I am Hashem, your God, the one who, and He doesn't finish, the one who created the world. He says, I'm the one who took you guys out of Mitzrayim. You were having a really rough time of it there. Remember? And I saved you. That's the way Hashem introduces Himself to us. What He wants us to know is that He loves us. And that is what betachin means. I took care of you, and I am taking care of you. There's a fascinating Gemara, once again, that brings out this point, how there's no such thing as emunah outside of the context of a relationship. The Gemara says an amazing idea. It says, the goyim also heard Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, but they said it's not true. It says, Raish Devarcha Emes. The Gemara says, Raish Devarcha Emes, V'lei Saif Devarcha Emes. Misaif Devarcha Nikashe Raish Emes. What does it mean? Because the Umas Ha'ilim, the goyim heard Hashem say Anoichi. And they said, L'kavid Atzma Hu Dairish. He's just interested in his own honor. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha sounds like such a guy with a thing to say. I'm not interested. It's not true. When he got up to Kavod Avicha V'Simcha, he said, oh, okay. He's also interested in respecting other people, your father. So we admit. It's really strange. Because just because you don't like someone doesn't mean he's not stronger than you. So if God said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, boom, and the whole world became quiet and all the birds stopped chirping and everything was... And it says that, you know, all the guys went crazy. They all came to Bilam. Hashem Oizama Yitin. The whole world was shaking by Matan Torah. And all of the kings and the Heichaleim, they started trembling. Everything, the ground was trembling. They were very, very scary. So how did they say it's not true? Just if he wants his covet, that's even a bigger problem. So you got this really powerful guy on the block, and all he wants is his own covet. You better pay attention. Right? They didn't. It reminds me of a conversation I had of a Holocaust survivor. Back in the days when I was really dumb. I'm hopefully a little smarter then. At least I'm smarter in this particular story. It made me a little smarter. I was having a conversation with this woman who's not religious. And she, you know, I look like a yeshiva guy. And she was in a bad mood. And she just gave it to me. How come you're not in the army? How come your wife has to work so hard? And where was God in the Holocaust? The whole thing. She gave me the whole thing. All in about 15 seconds, every question ever asked by a non-religious Jew in Israel to a religious Jew in Israel. I'm like, which question should we go for first? I think I'll choose the Holocaust one because it's not really personally directed against me. Let's talk about God, you know? Blame it on him. I'm not going to tell you the stupid things I said. It's embarrassing. But I will tell you her response. But she said, if God can let this happen, I don't want such a God. Now that statement makes no sense. But that doesn't matter. Because emotionally speaking, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. I mean, if you know there's a God and he can make a Holocaust happen, who cares if you want him? No one asked you. You know, he clearly didn't ask you if you want him. He's there. He can, you know, he can really mess up your life, so you better pay attention. Right? That's what logic says. Right? But you know what? People get so turned off, they don't care if it makes sense. Perhaps a little bit that's what's going on in this Gemara. If someone is interested in their own covet, it doesn't matter how much sense they're making. It's disgusting, and I want nothing to do with it, and it's not true. That's what the Goyim said. They heard Hashem say, Anoichi? They said, oh, he just wants his own covet. It's not true. It doesn't matter how much sense or how little sense that makes. When they saw that, no, he's also interested in respect of the parents, they're able to be Maida to the Dibur Sari Shinus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to believe him because it's true, because he's real, and because he's powerful. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to believe that he's real is because he takes care of us. The way he introduces himself in Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is, I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. The words Anoichi stands for the famous marriage, Ano Nafshes Kasis Yahavis. You think Hashem doesn't have anything at stake here? The word Anon, what do those words mean? Hashem says, this Torah that I'm giving you, I've taken my soul, I've written it down, and I've given it to you. No, we think Hashem has nothing at stake here. It's just a little cute game for him. I'll make this little world. It'll be fun. I'll get out there, make these kind of people like that. There'll be some wars, you know. We'll give them commandments. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra. Let's see him play it out. It's like, I know someone who said, I bought a humidifier, then I bought a dehumidifier. Put them in a room and let them fight it out. let's see who made the best conditioner win. You know, that's what God's doing. I'm like, Yetzer Tov, make a Yetzer Ra. You know, let's see what happens. This is so much fun. You know, somewhere, like, we wonder, like, what does God care? Does God have anything at stake? The answer is yes. Hashem says, Ano Nafshes. Now, it's hard for us to understand that because it doesn't seem to make sense. You know, because if we were God, you know, we wouldn't risk things. Why would I trust a bunch of people, you know, with something important, right? But Hashem did. What's crucial for us to understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not playing a game with us. There's no such thing as emuna outside of the context that Hashem loves us and wants to take care of us, and that is the most important thing, that's the purpose of the whole Torah, for us to reach emuna. As it says, Ba Tzidkiyo, Chizkiyo, who was it? Tzidkiyo? Bemida Malachas, right? That the if you want to summarize the Torah, it's all Amunah. Right? What does it mean? Why is that the purpose of the whole Torah? Hashem wants us to believe that he loves us and he wants to take care of us. What's really scary is that I'm just going to repeat to you two conversations that I had which are chillingly similar. I spoke in a show a little while ago. And I talked about the idea that God loves us. And when I was done, it was a from Eilam, someone came over to me, religious young man. He was clearly learned in yeshivas, now he's working. But, you know, from Yid, wearing a talis, came over to me and says, Rabbi, very nice speech. You know that thing you said that God loves us? I don't think you're right. I think that's a Christian idea. It doesn't say in the Torah that God loves us. It says in the Torah that we have to love God. We have the Hashem Elokecha. We are commanded to love God. But where does it say in the Torah that Hashem loves us? This is an actual question posed to me by a religious Jew. I think my lower jaw, I think, you know, they say that snakes are able to disengage their jaws and separate the upper and lower jaw, which is why they could really eat things bigger than them. You know, like they're kind of snakes that like eat like huge things. It's because they can actually separate the upper and lower jaw. I think at that moment I became like a snake. My jaw went all the way down. I have no idea what to tell you, but you're nuts. Later, when my brains came back to me, actually, I was such in shock. Recently, I was in Eretz Yisrael and I was speaking to, they had to come speak to a class of Bar Mitzvah boys. I said, hey guys, does God love us? So one kid says, sure. Oh, hey, Vesama Yisrael. I was like, yeah. We say it every night in Maariv. Ohev es Amo Yisrael. How about this one, guys? Habaycher ba'ama Yisrael ba'ahava. We say it every morning in Krishma. Hashem chooses us every day with love. Yes, God does love us. How can it be? There's a frumid who just like even intellectually was claiming that it's just not true. Now here's the chilling part of the story, because a few days later, I was sitting with a Talmud who was once with us in Kesher, and we were sitting, you know, where we should two Jews meet in Essen on Kol. It used to be Exus on Kol, now it's Essen on Koni, and we're having kishka, you know, 2 years eating some kishka. And he says, you know, Rebbe, I want you to know I'm not really religious anymore. And I'm just wearing a yarmulke because out of respect. Like, no, that's awkward. you know, my kishka got a little stuck in the throat there. Like, you know? You could have said that to me after I finished swallowing. You didn't have to, like, ruin the piece of kishka for me. I was like, you know, did you care to elaborate? You know, want to talk about that? So he said, well, and then he said the same words I had just heard 3 days earlier. He said, I don't think Hashem really loves us. I think it's a Christian idea. It was like, no way. It was like deja vu, like it was crazy. And he said, Hashem doesn't love me, and it means I decided, you know what, there is a God, there isn't a God. Meanwhile, I'll just do what I want. I said, well, are you having a good time at least? He said, I'll tell you the truth. When you're not religious, you can do whatever you want. But you can't think of any reason to do any of it. It was actually a very, very powerful line. But spoken with such depression, such sadness. But one day, I hope soon, Bukhar of Mama shall discover that Hashem loves him. But what I walked away from that little meeting was, I made a mistake because I was his Rebbe. How could it be that he doesn't know this? So I just made myself a promise. This is it. I mean, this is it. There's no such thing. Chas v'shalom. If we're not teaching this, how could it be that this? He sat in my shirt. I taught him Gemara. And he doesn't know. I neglected to mention this to him. And, you know, I can't beat myself too much. I have to pick up a piece of my life and move on. But I need to learn this lesson. Part of our education needs to be the most important thing. There's no such thing as emunah devoid of love. What emunah means is Hashem loves us and wants to take care of us. And that explains one of the biggest mysteries of Judaism. It's called the Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm in a room here. I think most of you look pretty Jewish people. And this is, I have a new pastime. I ask Jews. I make sure they're Jewish, and then I ask them this question. So, you're Jewish? How often do you think about Egypt? And again, I get the same answer. Deadly squat. Not at all. I never think about Egypt. Anyone here think about Egypt a lot? Twice. How about, what's that?
Twice a day.
There you go. So, you're the right kind of Jew. You actually, now, I know you say it twice a day. Okay, my question really is, do you think about Yetzias Mitzrayim? You're supposed to. And not only are we supposed to say it twice a day, we're supposed to, on Shabbos, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then 7 days on Pesach, don't eat any leavened bread, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then for 7 days on Sukkot, leave your houses, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, and your firstborn son, by the way, you have to redeem him, the Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Ramban points out that most of the mitzvahs of Torah are just remember leaving Egypt. God has this preoccupation. Sorry for saying it that kind of way. Where does he have Mitzrayim? No one else does. We're all Jews. We eat Kakish cake. I'm Jewish. I have pachah sometimes. I am so Jewish. I have kishka. You know, hey, bagels. What am I missing? So I don't think about Egypt. I mean, no, okay, you think about it. Great. But anyone else here? I mean, am I the only one in the room who doesn't think about Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's embarrassing. Is anyone with me here? Yeah. That is, okay, good, thank you. There's like this disconnect, because the Jewish plan, clearly, is to think about Yetzias Mitzrayim a lot. Why does Hashem want to think about Yetzias Mitzrayim a lot? Because you know what the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim is? Very, very simple message. Hashem says, what Hashem taught us at Yetzias Mitzrayim is that He loves us and takes care of us. We were really stuck, and He really saved us. And then 7 days later, we forgot about it. So He reminded us of Kriyas Yamsuf. And He did all of that for us to give us a Torah. So Shavuos is the climax of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The message of this time is to just bring in that Hashem loves us and takes care of us. And what's the scariest thing in the world? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to have what I need? Will I have enough money? Will I have enough health? Will I have my children? Will I have children? Will I be okay? You know, will I be okay? That's what we worry about as human beings. You know, we're not so capable. You know, we like to think we're capable of taking care of ourselves. Well, we know we're not really so capable of taking care of ourselves. What Hashem would like us to know is we can relax because He loves us and He's really powerful and He wants to take care of us. And the whole Torah It's for to get that message. V'ani b'chastecha b'tachti. We say, how do I know? Maybe Hashem really wants me to have a rotten life because that's good for me. It's going to build my character. You know, this is kind of like a frum cheshbon, right? Maybe. How can I not have betachin? How do I know Hashem will take care of me? You know why? Because He loves you. If you love someone and you can help them, wouldn't you do it? Anyone? If you love someone and you can help them, you would. Now, if you have children, you don't always give them as much nash as they want, right? And sometimes the kid is going to kvetch. But the essence of betachin is to realize that Hashem is not here to give us a horrible, rotten, disgusting life because somehow, in some way, He understands it's good for us. No, it's going to be amazing. That is exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn. Let's bring it all together. What's the message of Shavuos? The message of Shavuos is that we can get back to, we can be reborn. We can have a Torah which is Chayim Atav Esachenu, which is eternity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a life far beyond what we can experience, and just the little small things that we want. So, you know, today perhaps we're not, even people who are not able to appreciate Torah and mitzvahs, but anyone can appreciate the desire to live forever, eternity. That is what we're receiving in a few days. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Torah, He's giving us Chayim Atav Esachenu, which is the second Yod of Vayitzer. We're going to be, it's another Rosh Hashanah, it's another, just like the first Rosh Hashanah Hashem created humanity, that's what Rosh Hashanah is, the day that He creates us, it's the day He created Adam Rishon. Shavuos is the day that He creates Adam Rishon again, through giving us the Torah. When we receive life from Hashem, then that brings us to betachin and emunah, that Hashem loves us and wants to take care of us. And that's a relationship that's continuous. It's a relationship that, it's always fresh, just like the man, that's the tam, the flavor of everything we eat, everything we experience. Like Rebbe Tzaddik, everything that you have, receive it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a different quality of life. It's like home-baked food. You know, the same food, it's just kind of better because it serves with Hashem with love. That is the goal of why we're living. And that's, we get a free taste of that every Shabbos. You don't have to worry, you don't have to have ishtadlis, you don't have to... Shabbos, you can just have a talk on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the food tastes so good on Shabbos. Because it's just served from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He's telling you, today, you have betachin. Don't worry if you have enough betachin. Hashem says, today you have enough betachin. So you can just relax and enjoy the challah, or the whatever it is you're going to like. Right? Just enjoy it today on Shabbos. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, you have betachin. So as Shavuos comes, allow ourselves to be eternal beings. Allow ourselves to receive a gift from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's like dare to dream. Dare to dream that we could be more than this world is. You know why it's so important? Because the rest of the year, our job is to try to chase that dream. Because Shavuos, we experience Luchos HaRishonos. We get back to the Tikkun V'Cheder V'Adam Rishon, and it's a Matana, but it's immediately taken away. That's what we cry about in the Churban, in the 3 weeks that follow Shavuos. And then, that's what we're doing Tshuva, to get back to an Elul. And that's what we're celebrating in Sukkot, that we have a Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot. And that's what we have a moon in the whole winter. The whole winter that's going to come again, a new year, a new Pesach, and a new Shavuos. Our whole Jewish life is the Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. To again and again repeat to ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does love us, He does want to take care of us. To have that Menuchas HaNefesh that comes with Emunah and Betachin. So, as I end this little speech over here, I just want to mention that this is not goodbye. Let me explain why. Because I'm here in America to benefit an organization that I have in Eretz Yisrael to help young couples who have come from again. These are people who've been through a whole bunch of stuff and now have come back. And, you know, it's like you're in the emergency room, right? So people coming in, they're bleeding, and their heart is like falling out, and you stick it back in. You know, you put bandages on, you get to stop the bleeding, and stop the hemorrhaging, everything okay. Then when you're done with that, you got to send them upstairs so they can recuperate, right? What if you don't have the rest of the hospital? Just have an emergency room. It's okay, you stop the bleeding, send it back out. Not such a good idea. They're going to be back pretty soon, right? You didn't really accomplish much if you just have first aid. You need to have a follow-up. So same thing, people are very focused on kids, off the dark, crazy, earrings everywhere, drugs, you know. Okay, what about the ones who are successful, you've got them back, and they're normal, they're Shemitah, Mitzvah, they're settling down, they're getting married. There really was no one taking care of things beyond that point. So I've stopped, kind of left where I was in Kesher, which is doing the kind of that frontline work, to move to help people at the next stage. Baruch Hashem, the people we're so proud of, the one who matzliach, they become from again, they're married, settle down. We want to help them succeed at building a bayis tamid b'Yisrael, which is a little bit of a tricky thing to do. Not so easy. So there's four things we're working with them, to learn in the morning and work in the afternoon, to help them steig in learning and have a parnasa. Second thing is shalom bayis, you know, really be conscious of things, don't wait for things to happen and then, you know, try to fix it. And then the third thing is a community. Everyone needs a community to be part of something, to give to the community, to receive from the community. And the fourth thing is online. We have a lot of online. We have our shiurim online. It's being recorded here for Torah Anytime. But besides for that, we have something called B'tachon Bootcamp. It's where we work on B'tachon. So we have some of our members right here. Hi. Yay. Right? So BBC, B'tachon Bootcamp, it's actually a six-week seminar where we work on B'tachon. Some of exactly what to call you, but you're the enabler, made it all able to happen. So Shkaya for being here, right? Today was session 4 of 6. It's a 6 week session. Anyone could really join if you go to justtorah.com, justtorah with 1 T. You could see how to do that. And it's seminars on B'tachon, on Shalom Bayis, and on Shabbos Kodesh. How to have a more deeper relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and with the relationships that are most important to us. So that's why it's not goodbye. I'd like to invite all of you to continue this, because this is the message that I think I'm dedicating my life to this, to help Yidden understand that B'tachon doesn't just mean to know, to believe in God. What it means is to believe that there's a God who loves you and wants to take care of us, and with every breath that we take, to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu until we feel that. That is to get some of that flavor, get some of that taste, till everything in life is taste delicious because it comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So anybody who wants to benefit from our services, whether it be online, I want to bring have some brochures here, I'll hand them out, or want to donate money to help us continue doing our work, you could find out how to do that also in the brochure. And I just want to end with this bracha. I wish you b'zeicha really to believe that a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us and is taking care of us, and then you have the tam, the beautiful taste of mud and everything that we eat, and have the flavor of life that's eternal, in which we're zeichet to receive that this Shavuos. Shkaya.